welcome to episode 5 of A View from the Bridge, the Belfast Giants unofficial podcast. Here on A View from the Bridge, we bring you all the news and views of the current Belfast Giants and the Elite Ice Hockey League. My name is Patrick Smith.
And I'm Aaron Turnahan. Welcome to the show this week. Nice quick one again, a look back at the Giants' excursion to Dundalk, and then when I hopped across the sea to Cardiff. We're going to look forward to the upcoming weekend of games as well, with the first back-to-back road trip of the season.
If you want to give us a shout here in A View from the Bridge, you can drop us an email at podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com.
Or pop over to the website, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast.
Things are going from bad to worse, Smith.
Yeah, it's not too enjoyable at the minute, is it? Say we were down in Dundalk last Saturday night, and Hull managed to make the trip over, and indeed brought a few fans with them, which I have to say impressed me. That's dedication, because it's some trip getting across from Hull to Belfast and Belfast down to Dundalk.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the Giants just didn't quite do anything really.
They were shut out for the first time this season, 2-0 by the Hull Stingers.
Yeah, I mean, Hull obviously, when they play away, do play quite a negative system. Although they do have some, the first time I've seen Hull this year, and they do have some good skillful players. Cabana being one of them, or Cooper Cabana as he's been named already, but some good skilled players, but they play quite a negative game. The Giants couldn't just, to be honest, never look like scoring the whole night really. And Hull got a goal ahead with a goal that we saw happening from, basically there was the Giants were on the attack and there was a breakdown, and Hull came out 2-on-1. I think it was Lee Jamieson was the one defenseman, and he did what, you know, all he could. He took away the passing lane and forced the guy, was it Cabana, I think, scored that goal.
Mm-hmm. Lee Mitchell.
Cabana, I think, was with him. Forced Mitchell to shoot, and Mitchell shot and put it in the net, and that was pretty much the difference. The second goal being an empty netter in the last couple of minutes. Which just really sealed it. Yeah, I think it's the third empty net goal we've conceded this season.
I think it is. It's the second or the third. I know that there's been a lot of we've been one goal down in a lot of games that have forced it, but I think it's the second or the third that we've conceded. A name that pops up a lot, especially on the penalty sheet, is Jake Riddle.
He had a bit of an influence on the game, shall we say. He seemed to have trouble controlling his mouth as well. So he might be the kind of guy that the Giants maybe would, it might be worth targeting and trying to draw a few penalties out of him this weekend, which obviously we'll talk about later on. Some good players. I've mentioned Cabana, my man Rob Rankin playing forward for them, who we'd heard stories about before, and he did live up to the name. He played very well. He definitely made a nuisance of himself out on the ice. And of course, in goal, Ladislav Kudrana, who picked up man of the match for a shutout. He didn't have to work overly hard, but he did make some very good saves at times when it was 0-0 and when it was 1-0, and pretty much. I mean, Deruville probably had one of his better games of the season as well. But the difference really was Kudrana.
What about Dundalk? How did the crowd react to Dundalk and the Giants as well? That being the first of four league games that we're having in the ice.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I mean, the atmosphere, I was sat for the first time. I've been there a couple of times. I've been there four times previously. I was sat in a different place for the first time, and it was quite impressive looking across at the balcony to see it's full of Giants fans. Wasn't quite a sellout, which probably is influenced by the start the Giants have had. I would say mm-hmm. maybe if they'd been on a good run, there maybe would have been a few more people that would have made the effort to get down to the game.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd seemed to be, the majority were the core Giants fans that you'd see you know, week in, week out around the Odyssey, but there did seem to be quite a few locals around. And I did speak to one guy prior to the game. I got down quite early and there was a public skate on when I arrived, and I did speak to one guy, an American guy, who was over working for, I think he said it was IBM or something like that, who knew nothing really about the Giants, but stayed to watch the game. So from that point of view, you know, if there was a few more guys like that, it's probably been a success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on that aspect, the atmosphere was fantastic. With a small rink, you know, the sound was a lot more contained and echoed around a lot more. It's just unfortunate the game didn't quite live up to the crowd.
I know there's going to be another game within the next couple of weeks down at Dundalk, but on Sunday, I think this is the third meeting so far this season with the Cardiff Devils.
Yeah, we're getting Cardiff out of the way pretty quickly.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing considering that it's three games and three wins for Cardiff. However, a closer one this time.
Yeah, finished 3-2. Closer, but again, it's another sort of one goals loss. With, you know, obviously, I would imagine Deruva was pulled in that game as well. So it seems to be we're running teams tight, but just not, you know, just not, we're not getting the luck, and we're just not finding ways to win games that maybe, you know, if we had a bit more confidence, would have been able to get something from.
One thing that does pop up for me is that, well, Ryan Smith was man of the match on 2 points, a goal and assist, as did Ed Courtney. Ed Courtney's been under a lot of fire recently. I know he's handed out, well, he's rumored to hand out his 2 weeks' notice to more or less every Giants player, and a lot of Giants fans are calling for him to, I think there was a chant wound up in Dundalk of taxi for Courtney. What do you think of this? Do you think it's harsh, or do you think it's warranted? He is our top point scorer.
He's our top point scorer. He's, as he said himself in the papers, he does seem to be, him and Scott Cameron, obviously, are pretty much the only two guys that are stepping up at the minute. Is it harsh? Well, I mean, as a coach, if things don't go well, that's in any sport. I mean, in football and cricket and rugby, I mean, you look at, take a couple of recent examples, Wales and New Zealand rugby. Both go out of the Rugby World Cup, and who gets sacked?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the coach. Is it the coach's fault that the players didn't turn up on the day? It's hard to tell, you know. So, yes, I think it is a bit harsh. I mean, our record with him as coach, we've won a league, qualified for playoff semi-finals, and finished second in the league.
So, that's a good record, if you ask me.
You know, and as Ricky put up a couple of weeks back on the forum, on the Kingdom of the Giants forum, on the main page, a little sort of comparison of Courtney and our previous most successful coach, Dave Whistle. And it did read quite well. Now, I know the standard and the style have changed since then, but it did read quite interestingly.
Yeah, they were quite comparable, with both having more or less similar winning records, and well, both have won a league title, and maybe, you know, Whistle has the playoff title, and maybe it sets him ahead. But in saying that, Courtney is under fire, and his reaction was to put all the players, well, according to the Belfast Telegraph article, to put all the players on 2 weeks' notice, hoping that basically that this will light a rocket underneath them and maybe improve their game. Is it a good move? To me, that's we've heard that a lot from Ed Courtney over the last, well, since November or December of last season when we were falling off. You know, a lot of people being threatened and very few changes. In fact,
I mean, as we mentioned, I think during last season, he made the change last year where he took Curtis Hubley out of the lineup, brought himself back in, and we won 12 or 14 or whatever it was after that. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see in the next few days. The one change he's made this year, actually, Sean Sutter, who we've actually forgot to mention, made his debut on Saturday night down in Dundalk.
Mm-hmm.
He made an impact straight away and got called for a penalty on his first shift. But after that, I mean, he looked okay. He was mobile, but you know, with it being his first game, I don't know how much he got to train with the team prior to that, if at all. So it'll be interesting to see how he fits in this weekend, having sort of spent a full week with the team training. And, I mean, Ryan Smith, people are saying things about him, but he's putting the points on the board.
Yeah.
Which others aren't. Other more experienced players, George Iwata, for example, Mark Julian, although to give him his dues, he's filling in on defence at the minute and doing a very good job at it. So it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next, especially if we struggle this weekend. I'd say something will definitely have to happen next week.
Well, we'll talk now about the games next weekend, and maybe after we'll see what the results are like after next weekend, and chat about what we think, if any changes are to be made, and what changes should be made. But before that, like I say, Hull Stingrays on Saturday night. Well, they've already shut us out this week. Can we go to Hull and pick up a result?
I don't see any reason why not. I mean, we didn't play particularly well. We didn't look like scoring, but I think Hull, when they're at home, play a different kind of game. Having seen them on Sky a couple of times, or well, definitely once against Nottingham, when they actually hammered Nottingham and played very well, but they play a lot more open game, and maybe that'll be, you know, maybe that'll suit us better than the way they played on Saturday. So Sutter hopefully will have had some time to fit in and sort of know what his role is meant to be now. I would say maybe if you have a line with Sutter, Courtney and Cameron, okay, we're maybe putting all our eggs in one basket there, but it could be, you know, Sutter is a goal scorer, as we've seen over the last 2 years. And when he's got someone in the mould of, as it was last year, Dan Tessier setting the goals up for him, he knows how to score, so that's been one of our problems. And Ed Courtney is the kind of guy who knows how to set people up. So it'll be interesting to see if those guys all click. I don't know what will happen with the lines, obviously. It'll be interesting to see what changes will maybe be made there. But yeah, I mean, I don't see any reason why we couldn't get a result. And obviously, I hope we do. So I think we need to. We'll have to turn the corner at some point.
I'm sure that following the game in Dundalk, the Giants will have picked up a few pointers, especially if the guards, the maybe, you know, Cabana, Mitchell, Rankin, and Jeff Glower. You know, the I'd like to think that following that game, that they'll have understood the game that Hull will play. Granted, at home Hull will play a different type of game, but to be honest, I'm travelling down there tomorrow afternoon, and the last time I was in that arena, it was a living nightmare.
Yeah, 7-2, wasn't it, last year? Do you know, the way things are going, I wouldn't be surprised if that was, you know, with a similar result.
Don't say that.
And equally, I wouldn't be surprised if we won by a similar score.
Do say that.
Something has to click at some point,
yeah.
I think. You know,
yeah, I think you're right.
It just, when it does, someone's, you know, some team, be it Hull, be it Manchester, be it Basingstoke next Thursday or whatever, you know, someone's going to sort of, there's far too much potential in our lineup to be. Yes, there maybe need to be one or two changes made to realise that potential, but the potential is definitely there.
And then on Sunday night, it's part of the what I've called the M62 road trip. From one end of the M62, they drive all the way to the other end to the Altrincham Ice Dome to take on the Manchester Phoenix. And I don't know whether if Liam's attending, but I know that it'll be an interesting game. Manchester, of late, haven't had like a five-game winning streak, have now lost three in their last four. A bit of a downturn in their fortunes, with back-to-back losses last weekend to Newcastle and to Coventry, I think it was. But, in saying that, Joe Tulare seems to be scoring points for fun.
Yeah, well, I think he's on a line with Tony Hand at the minute.
Well, the two of them, they're points on the same line. They have 32 points combined.
It's a bit like Courtney and Cameron, really. The only difference being that obviously they've managed to win five games or whatever it is. And the game when they played us back in about 3 weeks ago now, I guess it was. I mean, they didn't look much better than us. Their goalie that night had a very good game, actually. And in saying that, I think whenever he went away the next night, he had a bit of a howler. So I think the best way to describe Manchester at the minute is a streaky team. I think they lost their first two, then won five, and then, as you say, they've lost three. So, again, it could go either way. And again, if we get things to click, yeah, I'm trying to be positive and hopeful here. if things click for us, it's got to happen sometime.
Yeah.
And I just hope it happens sooner rather than later.
Well, they've got a good netminder in Manchester and Scott Fankhauser, and like you say, with Hand and Tulare clicking, I think that's the main aspect that the Giants D maybe have to look for. With Hand, you've got the skill, maybe not the speed anymore, but you've got the hands, and you've got the if you pardon the pun, and you've got the vision that maybe the D just need to concentrate on and break that down.
Yeah, I mean, the game he played over here, he just looked like Tony Hand. That's been, it almost makes me quite sad that I didn't see Tony Hand playing 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because, the way he plays now, he's probably still one of the best three players in the whole league.
Mm-hmm. And he's what, 73?
Yeah, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And he's played, whatever it is, about 3,000 games.
Mm-hmm.
Something ridiculous. He still has it, and he still knows what he's doing, and he's the big guy. If we can shut him down, but we can't, because people always complain that you don't hit Tony Hand out of the game, but it's not for lack of trying.
Yeah, I think it's a case of he's gone by the time you get there.
He's just so slippery and being such a smooth skater that he gets out of the way, and next thing, he's got the puck to the guy in front of the net, and scratching your head going, oh.
How did that happen?
So.
Well, it's our first trip to the Altrincham Ice Dome this season, and like I say, the Giants really need a turn in fortunes. It sounds like we're all really depressed. It's like, no, we haven't won in ages, and I thought we'd win, and we're not winning. But... we can't win them all. You know what I mean? We've been a successful.
We have to win one or two, though.
Well, that's true. That's true. especially if I have a 5-hour round trip to freaking Hull. Have you been to Hull?
Unfortunately not.
Well, you're for an experience if you ever come over.
I still have a desire to get to every rink in the league, so I'm sure I'll be there at some point.
Aye, well. But anyway, I think that's about us. Anything else we need to talk about?
Nothing that I can think of, no.
I'm sure there's a lot of other issues.
Something that I'll think up in about 2 minutes whenever I hang up. But.
Yeah. I think there's probably about four or five issues across the league, especially now that... Oh, well, it's been confirmed that the playoffs... Well, there's Basingstoke and Nottingham. So let's start with Nottingham. Confirmed that the playoffs are definitely in Nottingham on the 5th and 6th of April. Good news?
Very good news. Very pleased to hear that. Mm-hmm.
There was a rumour it was to be in Sheffield.
Yeah, I mean...
Quite a strong rumour at that.
I think it must have been a close thing. I mean, rumours don't come out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So there must have been something going on there. But no, Nottingham, I think, is a sensible choice. I mean, it's probably easier to get to for the majority, I mean, especially for Belfast fans anyway. I think Sheffield, you can't fly direct to Sheffield, so...
Mm-hmm.
I know you don't fly direct to Nottingham, but it's only about 20 minutes on a bus, whereas to get to Sheffield, you need trains and all sorts.
Well, we've had a very good time over the last number of years in Nottingham, whether the Giants have been there or whether they've not. And the fact that the NIC is so close to the town, there's a lot of hotels around there, and it seems to be perfectly suited for
the... hotels, the bars and the restaurants are all within 10-15 minutes walk.
That's tradition now.
It is, it really is, isn't it? What's that now about? It must be...
5-6 years.
Ever since the Giants have existed anyway, it's been in Nottingham.
Well, yeah, and I don't know, a lot of people are already 6 months in advance are getting excited about going to the playoffs. Mainly Hitchy, who hasn't shut up in the last couple of days. But, personally, I always look forward to it as a weekend, and I think it would have lost something by going to Sheffield. Not that Sheffield's bad, but it's different. It's out of the town. It's just not... I don't think you'd have had the same atmosphere.
No, I don't think so. I mean, there are a few improvements that might be maybe seen made at Nottingham. Mm-hmm. But that's maybe a discussion for another day.
And Basingstoke,
yeah.
They had a few troubles the last couple of weeks, but that seems to have all blown over now.
Yeah, well, I mean, there were, again, rumours flying about that with no money, basically. You know, with the roster that they've signed this year, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say it would be unfounded because it's a quality roster with some quality players there. But fortunately, coming out of the same meeting, it's been announced that the Bison will have no problems getting through the season.
Yes, that's good news. I know there's been a lot of rumours of like Steve Thornton going here and Stevie Lyle going there, mainly on the Elite League forum. But then again, the Elite League forum, does anybody really pay any attention? Actually, now I've said that, would you see?
The contact address is Patrick Smith.
Yeah. Send your emails and I don't care. You said this in the Elite League forums, that. I don't read the Elite League forum. Nobody does. Kids. Anyway, yeah, but it's mainly the rumours of players going here, there and everywhere, but we'd rather see Basingstoke Bison remain in the league, even if their logo does look like Buffalo Sabres.
Well, it doesn't anymore.
Well, no, it's changed now.
No, I mean, it's. We'd rather have 10 teams. I mean, especially with the Sky deal that's just come about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially as I didn't see the game this weekend. I was out having fun. But I think Basingstoke was actually the game that was on last
night.
Yeah,
it was indeed.
And I can just imagine, you know, someone who's maybe sort of got into the program over the last couple of weeks, who's from you know, Basingstoke kind of area, tunes in. Goes, oh, you know, really excited, thinking, well, maybe take a game in the next few weeks, and then, well, sorry, this is business, but by the way, they're not playing anymore after today.
They've went bust. So yeah, good news that the Basingstoke Bison are still there. And it wouldn't be the same. Playoff weekend wouldn't be the same without that small bunch of Basingstoke fans who are always there, and it's always great.
And as you know, good news for the fans as well.
Yeah.
And of course, it's good news as well for Bracknell, a team, an old adversary of ours from. Mm-hmm. From a few years ago, who are owned by the
and feeder team.
Yes. So it's good for, you know, good news to keep, sort of on a deeper level as well. Bracknell are looking like they're going to be okay as well.
It's good news. Good news all around. So yeah. Well, that's about us. Two away games this weekend. You can keep track on the Kingdom of the Giants website or the chat rooms and the likes. And I'm sure I'll be texting Aaron from Hull.
Yeah, we should have the updates running definitely on Saturday and fully on Sunday as well.
If you want to give us a shout here at the at a View from the Bridge, couldn't remember the name of the podcast there. It's podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com.
Or, of course, the website, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast.
I get to see hockey this weekend. You don't, and you'll be doing the updates. And we hope that everybody out there enjoys their hockey wherever you are this weekend. And we'll see you next week here on A View from the Bridge.
Goodbye. Okay,